Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you'd like to join us. If you would like to ask me a question, make a comment, or ask a question or make a comment of my special guest and my good friend James Ballard. Jim is the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a management consultant and a motivational speaker for Blanchard Training and Development, which will help launch his Dream Runner seminars, which are coming up this year. He lives in Amherst, Massachusetts. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thanks a lot, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back with us, and we've enjoyed having you in the visits that we've had with you before. And one of the things that you've got on your mind today, I think, is intuition, how to train your intuition.
Yes,
talk to us a little bit. Before we talk about training our intuition, let's identify, a lot of people say, well, we know what intuition is, but I'd like to know what you think it is.
Well, I like to use the definition of intuition that was given by the great teacher from India, Paramahansa Yogananda, in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And I'm going to read that. It's a footnote in the book. It says, intuition is that directly perceiving faculty of the soul that at once knows the truth about anything, requiring no medium of sense experience or reason. It does not consist in believing a thing, but in knowing it directly and unmistakably. It does not contradict. It is always supported by a right sense of perception, reason, and inference, although it does not depend upon any data whatsoever offered by the senses or the mind. A real intuition can never be wrong. Everyone possesses this quality, more or less. Like any other factor, it must be cultivated. So I like that. That seems to sum it up for me.
I agree. And of course, you know, a lot of times we hear people using the term, the variation of intuition from the word intuitive. And,
right.
And you know, that's what they mean when they say that. You know, it's something that's typically what you hear people say is it's not intuitive. Meaning, you know, that it's not something that you could have had an instinct about.
Yeah, okay.
But intuition is something, we've talked about this before. There's a book that we've covered, and I'm trying to remember the author's name, but it's called Practical Intuition.
Oh,
and I'll get that book out in the next break and remind you of who the author is. But it's a good book. We've talked about that on the show before. I really think it's an important subject to discuss because I think this may be a tool. This may be a resource, a personal internal resource that we have, that we all have. As you said, the yogi mentioned, we all have that. But I think that it may be something that a lot of business people don't really call on.
I think it's an imperative tool for this turn of the century, Jim, for doing business, because especially in decision-making, that leaders cannot rely on information, amassing all the information that we used to have to make decisions. We really have to be able at least to balance the outside with the inside, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we really need to be guided from within and have that intuitive flash come to us that is so often the mark of genius or a breakthrough, but we don't know, a lot of us, how to access it.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the things I want to ask you, though, before we get into this, and I like to ask these questions. I really have a little more fun with these kinds of questions when my guest is a lady. But I'd like to know your perspective on this, Jim. What do you think that men and women, that the level of intuition in men is different from that that's in women?
Well, I do. I think it's more accessible in women just because of the way they're wired up. But that doesn't at all mean that men are not intuitive. Actually, I don't really think that in the broader sense that we are men or women. I think we're moving around in those bodies, but that when you're channeling intuition, when you have access to intuition, that knowing without knowing how you know it,
mm-hmm.
That it doesn't have to do with gender. It really has to do with the ability to quiet and calm oneself and trust that way of knowing.
Well, you know, I don't think that women are more intuitive than men. Now, I have no research to back that up, but I think that in certain things, I think women are more intuitive than men.
Yes.
I mean, men are pretty obtuse about certain things that really drive women nuts, but I think that there are things that men are strong in that they're
Absolutely.
More intuitive about. Does that
Absolutely.
Make sense?
I think women probably are more attuned to relational issues,
yes.
relationships.
I agree.
And are sensitive to those things, and men have those flashes and have that insight about some of the harder data and so on.
Would it be accurate to say, and please tell me if you think this that I'm not right here, would it be accurate to say that we're more likely to be intuitive about the things that we're interested in than we are about the things that we're not interested in?
Well, yeah, that would seem to follow to me. I haven't thought of it that way, but that sounds right to me. Intuitively, I would think that would be right.
In other words, as you say, women are more interested in, women are more intuitive about relational things, and you know, men may be more intuitive about a football game or something.
yeah.
Okay.
It's about trusting hunches, you know, that sort of thing too.
I use the word instinct fairly often. I like to contemplate our instincts, especially in business. What's the difference in intuition and instinct?
I don't know that there is any difference. I think you're right that you're on the track there.
Well, I just the reason I say that I was thinking as you were talking a minute ago, as you were giving us the definition from the gentleman, and was that tell me again who that was?
Yogananda.
Yeah. As you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, is this what makes us largely what makes us different from the lower animals? And then I thought, well, no, wait a minute, they have instincts.
Yeah, I really think that intuition. I'll wait to come back.
Okay, all right, hold on to that, Jim. Hold on to that thought. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're going to be getting more into how to train your intuition when we come back. We're going to let Jim think about the difference between intuition and instinct, and we'll be right back after these messages. It's 20 after. Come back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and if you are a small business owner, you're my hero. And if you've been listening to this show very long, you know that. And just hang in there, keep working, and keep following your dream. Jim Ballard is our special guest this hour and our good friend, and he is here to help me help you to follow your dream. And we're talking about intuition. We're sort of spending a little bit of time defining intuition, what it is, what it looks like inside of you, what it looks like when it comes out of you, and how you can develop that. We're gonna get into in a little bit how to train you in your intuition. But before we can train it, Jim, we've got to help people identify what it is, and so they know what it looks like when they have it. And I was asking you what the difference was between instinct and intuition. I was thinking about animals, and one of my interests is wildlife. I love learning about wildlife, and always have. And I've you know watched a lot of shows. I spent a lot of time in nature and observing animals, and so I see them doing things instinctual. And I wonder what the difference is.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I'm sure that our access to the information that we get through intuition is different from the information that animals have, and that it's on a different level, on a higher level. I've been thinking, I often tell a story about a time I was out doing a seminar for some teachers on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I actually used to teach on that reservation years ago in a past life in a government school. I was a school teacher for a while, but this time I was training the staff of a large government school, and I had to be there for about a week, so I was living in one of the rooms off of the dormitory, and I used to go out for a run on the desert every morning, and I would often see this old fellow. I learned that he was kind of a medicine man type guy, an old sage, an old wise man, and I'd see him out there striding along the desert, and I was struck immediately, even at a great distance, about his purpose that was so evident in his walk. He was really going somewhere. He wasn't shambling along, you know. He was headed out. And I saw him several times. So one day I befriended one of the male teachers in the group that I was teaching, and he and I were sitting around one time, and I said, "Who is that guy?" And he said, there's so many stories about him. But he told me one of them about his brother-in-law that is the story. And he said one time he was, and it's miles and miles between towns out there, and a lot of the camps, the Indian camps, are way out there, miles. And his brother-in-law was driving his pickup along one of these old dirt roads on the desert, and he saw this old fellow striding along in the same direction as he was going up ahead. So when he got to him, he stopped and offered him a ride, and the man just kind of very briefly said, "No thanks, I'm in a hurry." And, of course, he didn't know what he meant, but he felt, okay, he's turning me down. So he took off, and about a mile and a half, 2 miles down the road, he blew a tire. And he got out of his truck and went back to change the tire and got the spare out, and the spare was flat. So he was sitting there on the running board just kind of figuring out what he was going to do, and this old Indian man came walking by, never looking right or left, and just by him and walked out of sight. And by the time that he got help and got to the town, of course, the old man was long gone or had been there a long time. And so I say, now, how did that old fellow know that he was, you know, he was in a hurry, so he couldn't get this guy accept the ride from this fellow? How do we know that way? And obviously this gentleman had trained his intuition and trusted it, and I think a lot of the training of intuition begins with belief that we can trust it, and that it isn't something weird, that it isn't, you know, we've all had flashes of intuition, creative insight. We've had dreams that have seemed to direct us in one way or another. And sometimes we just know without knowing how or why. And people tell stories about that, you know, and with some wonder. In other words, with our Western way of trusting outside, meaning the data and information that comes to us just strictly through the senses, we tend to have a little bit of maybe a mistrust or of the idea that we could actually train this up. But it's like a muscle, Jim, like an atrophied muscle, and we need to exercise it.
Which we're going to talk about more when we come back to these messages, folks. It's 29 after the hour. Jim Ballard is our guest. He's the author of What's the Rush? Step out of the race, free your mind, and change your life. And we're going to talk about how to train your intuition when we come back. We're also going to get Jim to tell us what a yogi is. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, ask a question, make a comment, agree or disagree with me and my special guest and our good friend James Ballard, the author of What's the Rush? Jim, tell us where this book is available, please.
Well, in all the stores and also online, Amazon.com, you know, the usual, Barnes & Noble.
Right. Jim has an outstanding newsletter that I really enjoy. I'm getting a lot of it. In fact, the subject, Training Your Intuition, was a subject of one of his recent newsletters. And I would like for you to tell our audience, Jim, how they can get that newsletter.
Well, the name of the book is What's the Rush? So I've taken the words what's and rush, what's rush, at AOL.com.
What's rush at AOL.com?
Right, and no punctuation on what's rush.
Right, just put it's one word, and if you go there, if they send you an email, just to ask to subscribe to the newsletter?
That's right. The newsletter is called The Balance Beam, and it's about getting balance into your life and work
and
just ask for it.
And it's free. Yeah. Okay. Good. You know, I was talking to you earlier about instinct and intuition. I've been thinking about this hour. Today's the first time I've really tried to differentiate between the two, between instinct and intuition. And I'm not sure that there is a difference. Maybe there is, but I think I've decided for now that guys don't really like to use the word intuition for themselves the way ladies do. And so I think maybe instinct is just the word guys use to say that they have instinct, I mean, that they have intuition, and ladies prefer to use the word intuition because there's that old term, women's intuition.
Yes.
See, and it's almost like they've claimed that word, and we can't use it anymore.
Well, either that or it's been assigned to them, you know, and sometimes I feel a little bit unfairly, because if you talk a lot about women's intuition, it sounds like men don't have it, like you were saying.
Yeah, but I think we have, we just call it something differently. I think
yes.
We call it instinct. So, ladies, if you think you have good intuition, and if you agree or disagree, give us a call and let us know, 888-822-8255. And, guys, I'd like to know what you think about all this. Let's talk about some of the benefits of developing intuition.
I think some of the benefits are, I mentioned decision-making. I think these days with the speed up and change and the fact that even though you set a goal and you start out to get there, in the end it doesn't fit your pictures because changes come along, and if you're thrown by them, you'll never get there. So adaptability, the ability to see and change opportunity rather than just disappointment or failure, the ability to make decisions that don't wait for all the facts to be in. It doesn't mean you don't use facts, but facts are not primarily the criteria for making good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Military leaders have known this before. People who, you know, coaches and sports people know that sometimes you have to think on your feet or on the nanosecond. You have
yes.
to. You have to be able to just trust that you know. And training that up is, as I was saying before the break, it's sort of like training a muscle that we haven't used a lot. So there's lots of ways to do that, but I feel like it begins with trust. The feeling that we can know this way.
One of the things that I have, it's been interesting to me in my life, has been observing my mentors and seeing, and I hadn't thought about it before, but now I can remember seeing intuition being demonstrated by them.
Sure.
I can remember them making decisions, and I remember wondering, how did they make that so fast?
Mm-hmm.
How did they know that?
Yeah.
And because they were right. You know, it turns out that, you know, they had all this information, all these suggestions and recommendations by the people who worked for them, and they immediately said, no, that won't work, and they were right. And I thought, how did they know that? And it was, they had trained their intuition.
Exactly.
All right, and to help them make decisions. What's next? Handling change is another one that you mentioned.
Handling change, knowing in relationships who you can trust and what you can trust. Sometimes when you're talking with somebody, you can be aware of how you feel rather than just what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times how people say things, how they look, just a gut feeling, we say.
Well, boy, small business owners know about handling change because sometimes we feel like we wake up in a new world every day.
You do, and being willing to embrace that change. It's sort of like I think you and I have talked about the way that we can use paddling in white water, kayaking, world class kayakers, and what they do to talk about handling change today. They enjoy the ride, but at the same time, the joy of it is figuring out, you know, when to dip the paddle. Am I going on this side of the rock or that side? And not sticking to the game plan all the time. They've scouted the river, but, you know, when you're in the water, you have to think on the second and love it and enjoy the ride. So
you also talk about relationships, the benefits that developing intuition is in relationships. And I agree with you 100% because one of the things small business owners have to be able to do is they have to be able to read people pretty quickly.
That's it. Exactly right.
And of course, relationships are, we have a lot of different kinds of relationships. We have personal relationships and we have professional relationships. But you've got to be able to read your employees. You've got to be able to read prospective employees, customers, people that you're doing business with. You've got to be able to read them, and your intuition helps you with that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And when you're hiring people, that's so critical then. And on the subject of hiring people, I think that after our conversation today, people might think about, you know, if you don't have a well-developed trust of your intuition or a well-developed intuition, you want to do it, but you haven't done it, you know, you might hire it done. You might have somebody in your shop, on
mm-hmm.
your staff, that really thinks that way and learn to trust them.
Delegate that. Either hire it done or delegate that. I agree with you. You know, Jim, the older I get, the more I am enjoying what you would call developing my intuition, having, and you, I guess you could also use the term wisdom. You can throw that in here too, because I just think that's one of the benefits of getting older, isn't it?
You know, you talked about what is a yogi before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
stand by, Jim. We're going to take a break. Folks, that's the music. We're going to take a quick one. It's 40 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to talk about some guidelines for how to train your intuition when we come back. And also, Jim's going to tell us what a yogi is. And we're going to ask you if you might be a yogi. You might be. We are back. It's 45 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I'd like to welcome a new station to our show, WLTH, out of Gary, Indiana. I believe the numbers are 1370. Glad you're with us. Thank you for broadcasting our show. We really appreciate it and looking forward to getting to know all of you out there in that part of the world. I actually spent quite a bit of time up there. I actually spent part of my years growing up in East Gary, 2259 Warren Street. So Gary, Indiana, hello. Jim Ballard is our guest, James Ballard, the author of What's the Rush? We're talking about intuition. We're talking about what it is, what it looks like coming out of you, how to identify it and how to use it, how to train it. And one of the things that we want to talk about now, Jim, is how to train your intuition.
Right. I think, you know, the more that I look back on the things that I put in the book, Jim, I realize that it's really a book about training the intuition. So I'm going to kind of go by some of the principles there. One of them that I talk with everybody about is not hitting the ground running, taking some time to enter your day, and so that you can get into a state that I call calmly active, actively calm. And that means when you first wake up, don't think about what's ahead of you in the day. Don't let those little devils of worries get into the mind. Take some time, get up earlier if need be, and when the rest of the house is asleep, and get a cup of tea or whatever you take. Take a walk, meditate, pray, read some inspirational literature, but calm yourself. Go within and check with the stage manager before you get out there on stage. One of the ways to do that is when you do get to your making your to-do list, that you have previously identified your operating values. That's what's really important too in intuition, is your inner life, what you stand for, what means the most to you. And if you haven't done that, sit down and figure out what are your top three values and rank order them. Then if you have that right by your planner or your to-do list, or you got it on your Palm Pilot, you know, whatever you use, check with that in the morning so that you've got that guidance. And it helps you make decisions based on those things, most important things, rather than just what's urgent during the day.
One of the things that I think happens when you give yourself that time, that quiet time, you schedule it and you give it to yourself, and you do your best to keep all of the problems that are concerning you, that you've got on your mind, which small business owners certainly have plenty of, if you try to keep those things out of your mind, what happens is while you're thinking about other things, I think your intuition and your brain and instinct, whatever you want to call it, is working sort of behind the scenes subliminally, and I think it sort of helps you to sort things out. And what I found whenever I do that is that when I come back to the issues that I have to address today, I'm actually clearer about them, and I'm actually focused a lot better on the solution.
That's a really good way to put it, Jim. That's absolutely what I'm talking about.
And I don't even realize what I'm getting at is I didn't even go off to that quiet time thinking that that was what was going to happen.
Uh-huh. So you're doing it as an adventure. You're not doing it so that what you thought would happen would happen.
Right.
You go into it with an open mind, and that is the way you need to go into the day, too, so that you're not thrown when the changes come along. Life is really an adventure. And it's not to be figured out. It's not a problem. It's more like that whitewater enthusiast that doesn't know what's going to happen next but has to go to find out.
Right.
And if you're living that way, you've got to start the day that way. So I like what you said.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about keep attention on the heart.
Well,
like that.
You know, the heart center, if everybody listening could just put their attention right on their heart area, the region of the heart, you notice that definitely has a physiological feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we use the word heart romantically and we use it to designate the soul or the inner self. The actual heart of us is something that we can go within and trust. And so when you have to make a decision or when you're meeting somebody new, go there, even though your head is nodding and you're smiling and you're talking. Be aware of your heart region. What is it telling you? What are you feeling there?
Mm-hmm.
Feel down within yourself to get that. Because if you're just operating on the outside, on the outer surface of the body, all you're doing is being in the ego.
Right.
The ego is, I don't mean that negatively, but the ego is kind of the false little self,
mm-hmm.
that just depends on the senses and on rational inference for decision making.
Stand by, Jim. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. Jim Ballard is our guest. The book is called What's the Rush by James Ballard. When we come back, we're going to get Jim to tell us why it's important to be willing to fail in order to train your intuition. And I'm going to ask him about the yogi in all of us. Stay with us, please. We are back after Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. I want to remind you that Jonathan Zuck is going to be joining me in the next hour. We're going to be talking about some of the new technology issues that are coming around the pike. He is the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Stand by for that. Right now, we're still visiting with our good friend Jim Ballard, who's the author of What's the Rush? I recommend you check this book out, folks. It's outstanding. You will like it very much. It will speak to you in a lot of different ways and help you get balance in your life. It'll help you to achieve some balance. It'll help you to train your intuition, which is what we've been talking about today. Jim, I want to go to talk about one more of the things that you say we've got to be willing to do to train our intuition. And you say that we've got to be willing to fail.
Absolutely, because it's trial and error. If we're not really experts at trusting and using the intuition, then we have to be willing to be wrong about it. One of the ways, or three of the ways, that we can be wrong about it is that people tend to be either visual or auditory or tactual.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can mistake visions for the intuition, you know, flashes of vision. Oh, I got the picture, I've got it now. And then if it doesn't pan out, it just wasn't the intuition. We can think that we have these intellectual insights and that we hear voices. We can tell that that's the right answer. If it doesn't turn out, it wasn't intuition. Or we can have a feeling, a sensation that we trust and be wrong. See, intuition is never wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be willing to try and figure out how this information is coming to us, because each of us has a characteristic accessing channel to it.
I'm still having trouble with the concept of intuition never being wrong.
Well,
because
you don't define it that way.
Yeah.
I was going by Yogananda's definition.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, saying that intuition.
But I guess what I was confusing decisions I made based on maybe what I thought was based on intuition might be wrong. So,
the intuition is the voice of the real inner self or the soul. The real self, and that's tuned into the oneness of everything. That can't be wrong, and yet we don't know how to get to it a lot of times, so we can be wrong about accessing it.
I have really enjoyed this conversation, Jim. We've still got about a minute and a half. I want you to talk to us about the yogi in all of us.
Well, the yogi in India is a person who has used the science of the soul, which is really what we're talking about. We don't usually combine those ideas. We have a lot of interest in science and belief in science, and then we relegate the soul to religion. But the science of the soul is the science of trusting, of hooking up with spirit, with the oneness of the universe, the beginning of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Finding pathways to that is what the yogi does. So the yogi is a person, and there's a lot of Western businessmen yogis that don't know it, that make a business of listening quietly, being calm, going within, and trusting that intuition.
So that's how we are yogis sometimes ourselves, when we demonstrate balance, some balance in our lives, when we demonstrate calmness, when we reflect on the things that are around us and try not to overreact or react too quickly.
Absolutely.
That's the
yogi in all of us, and I like that way that you talk about it, because all of us are potential yogis. Just like all of us are potential athletes. If you want to be a spiritual athlete, that's kind of a Western way of saying be a yogi. And
yeah.
One of the best ways I know is to learn to meditate.
See there, folks? You didn't know you were a yogi, did you? And of course, you may not be. But I would like to encourage you to think about the things that Jim has said today and we've talked about, and think about how being in touch, being in tune with your intuition can help you be more successful in your life and in your small business. Jim Ballard, that's got to be the last word. We've got to wrap it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. We'll have you
back again real soon.
It's a pleasure.
See you later. Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What's the Rush? Check that book out, please. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.